Well, we come to the end of our sermon series. We started way back at the 1st of January. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapters 5 through 7. So we come to the closing of this sermon. God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us a warning in this last section about how we listen. Do you listen good? Sometimes I don't. I pretend I am. But we need to do better than that, don't we? He says, these sayings of mine. That, I think that refers to the entire sermon. Matter of fact, it refers to the entire Bible. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We need to pay attention to what God is saying and learn to obey what we hear. The urgent admonition to the unsaved, we've noticed, is to enter in. It's not to learn all you can about the road. It's not to seek to enlarge the gate or widen the way. It's just enter in. Enter into the straight gate, to the narrow way. Obey the gospel. He who hears the way of heaven and refuses to enter in, that's a very foolish person. Those who hear and enter are wise to the saving of their souls. So as to enter into the straight gate, he says, beware of false prophets and beware of false professions. Brother Tim spoke of this last Sunday. He talked about two ways, a broad way, a narrow way. He talked about two trees, a good tree and an evil tree. Two professions, a true profession and a false profession. And finally, he talks about two buildings, two houses, and how they are built. The difference in these houses is not in the materials used. It's not a matter of a brick house versus a wood frame house or a straw house that the big bad wolf may blow down. It's not the appearance of a nice landscape or anything like that. It's not that one's bigger than the other. The difference is the foundation. We're going to talk today about having a proper foundation to build your life on, to build your home on, to build a society on. We need a proper foundation. What kind of life you live depends on what kind of foundation you're building on. Amen. Let's stand together as we read our text. Matthew 7, beginning with verse number 24. I went and got some water and I left it back there. But I know where it's at if I need it. Look at verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone who heareth these things of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees taught. Say, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, brother. I took one back there and left it.
They're cheap.
This is hot. Some people are hard to please, amen. I went and got a cold one back there. All right, let's consider two thoughts today from our text. You ready? You buckled in? First of all, We should erect a sturdy building. Talk about building something, building a life, building a home, building a family, whatever. Whatever you're building, it ought to be sturdy. Something that will last. First of all, we note the builders. There's two builders here building houses. And when you consider the similitude, that's your word for the day. Similitude. That's a good word, isn't it? It means visible likeness. A point of comparison. So we're going to compare these houses and these builders. Your life is like building a house. We're all building some kind of a spiritual house to live in. I can't live in yours, and you can't live in mine. Understand? I can't build yours. You've got to build this. This is something you've got to do. And folks, God has given us a manual to help us with that. That's what we're doing here today. To hear these sayings of Jesus, and I hope that you'll do them, what you hear or what you listen to. Because we have God's instruction manual on how to build a life. And a life that will be abundant and one that we can truly enjoy. But those who ignore God's instructions do so to their own ruin. These sayings of mine, I say, it's the whole Bible is involved here. We open the Bible and it says, thus saith the Lord. Amen? Thus saith the Lord. God is speaking to us. God is revealing to us how we can have a relationship with Him, how we can have eternal life. So we need to listen. We need to pay attention. Secondly, consider the similarities here. He speaks of two kinds of builders, one wise, one foolish. Now, in many ways, they are very much alike. They are both builders. They have the same dream to build a house. They both have a basic plan for building a house. Really, the only difference is in the foundation. One of them kind of skips the foundation phase of the building. Just starts building on the sand. Now, they both are building in the same area. Because when the storm comes, it affects both of them, right? So they're building in the same area. They've been impressed that they need a shelter from the rain and the wind. Now, by way of similarity, there are many today who understand this spiritually. They realize they need a refuge from the wrath of God, from the judgment that is to come. And so they understand this, and they go about to build something. But they leave out the most important part, the foundation. Both of these are equally skilled, I think, in building. They're well acquainted with the art of house building. Just like many today, they read their Bible. They kind of have an understanding of what the Bible says. But you remember what Jesus said in his sermon about missing the spirit of the law? To keep the letter of the law, but they missed the spirit of the law. I think that's where a lot of people are today. They know a little bit about the letter of the Word of God, but they really have missed the spirit that's behind all of this. And an important part, isn't it? They know something about faith and grace and repentance and forgiveness and justification. They know some Bible stories, right? They know about Adam and Eve. They know about Noah and Abraham and all of these guys. I tell you before, it's like having a jigsaw puzzle. You can have all these pieces, but until you put it together, you don't see the big picture. That's where a lot of people are. They know a little bit about the Bible. They know a little about this and that. But they really don't see the big picture of what God is trying to show us. That we may have eternal life. So that's what we're talking about. Both builders persevered. They both finished their structure. And if you would go and look at these two houses, you would probably have been impressed with both of them. They both look very well built. But you can't see the foundation. See, the foundation's hidden. You'll see that. And you look at people today, in the life that they're living, they may look good. They may go to church and try to live a good life and treat their neighbor right. And you think, they're okay. They're good. But you don't see the foundation. What are they building on? See, some people are building on the wrong thing. Because of that, they're going to miss heaven and eternal life. So we note the builders. Secondly, note the buildings that they're building. One was built carelessly. The foolish builder, as I said, neglects to lay a proper foundation. He just begins building on shifting sand. They say, well, preacher, why would anybody do that? Why would they skip the foundation and just start building? Well, some people are impatient, I guess. They're in a hurry. They want to get this done. Maybe his wife's nagging him to get this thing done. So he just starts. Lays the floor, starts building, but does not lay a foundation. And again, it's like a lot of people today. I think a lot of people are looking for an easy way to go to heaven. I think they're looking for a cheap way to go to heaven. They don't want to bother with laying a foundation for all of this. They just want to get into it and make their way. That's foolish. The foolish man, now he may have mocked the other guy for his slow work. He sees this guy over here laying a foundation. You ever do that kind of work? I worked with an uncle who was a general contractor. He did everything. I mean, we did all phases of building. Laying the foundation is not fun. Pouring that concrete slab, that's a lot of work. A lot of expense. So I could understand back then, I would like to skip that. So let's just start building. I like to see the walls go up. That's fun. Get the roof on it and all of that. So he may have been mocking the other guy for going to all this trouble of laying a foundation. But later on, he wishes he had. You ever go to the beach and build these sandcastles? Some of them get pretty good at that, don't they? I've seen pictures of people building these sandcastles on the beach and just how nice they are. But what happens when the waves come in? They don't last, do they? They're just sandcastles. A lot of people are building a life like that. It might look good for a little while, but it's not going to last. I'm talking about, there's people who talk about faith, but don't trust God. They talk about repentance, but they don't do any of it. They talk about all of these things, and yet they fail to do what the Scriptures tell us to do. Jesus said in Luke 13:24, he said, strive. Note that word, strive, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able to. So we're talking about something that's going to require a little bit of effort. Strive to enter in. Not something you're just going to skip through. This involves something that you've got to get involved in. So don't be like these builders who they just want to throw up a building in a hurry and very careless about it, trying to cut corners. People live that way. Amen? People can cut corners in how they build a life and how they try to build a family. People will join a false church that condones sin, that condones worldliness among the membership, and they're comfortable there. Now they come to a Bible teaching church that exposes sin, they're not comfortable. You ever notice we have visitors that never come back? I have. Why don't they come back? They don't like it here. They're not comfortable here. But we're not here to make you comfortable. We're here to show you the truth of God's word, that you might know how to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So one was built carelessly. The other was built carefully. The wise builder, he digs deep. He digs a foundation. He gets down to solid rock foundation to build his house. He goes to that extra effort. He takes that extra cost, that extra time to do it right. He knows there's no cheap, easy way to build a house that will endure storms. Right? Well, how do we build our spiritual house upon a rock? What are we talking about here? What is the rock foundation that we all need? Well, first of all, it's this book right here. We build upon the Word of God. He that heareth these sayings of mine, he that hears the Word of God and puts it to practice is a wise man and a wise woman. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. Now, that's only half of it. Not only do we need to hear it, we need to heed it. We need to obey it. And doeth them. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, obeys what I say. See, the foolish hear, but they don't do. They don't apply it to themselves. You know the verse in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do people deceive themselves? Yes, they do. They deceive themselves and do not accept what the scriptures tell them. So be careful of this. When you dig deep, there's a lot of dirt you got to throw out when you're digging a foundation. Now, thought about that. When it comes to repentance and faith, sometimes there's a lot of dirt in our life we've got to throw out. In repentance, turning from that sin that we might be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, here's the problem. A lot of people don't want to get rid of the dirt. They're comfortable with the dirt. They're happy with the dirt. They're willing to live with it. You can't live that way. Repent of your sins. Forsake them that you might follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. It's the Word of God that we build upon. See, many people come to church and they hear a sermon. I assume you're listening. They listen. But it never affects how they live. They never apply what they hear to themselves. Amen. I used to sit in the seat of the scornful. I know. I know how it works. See, the old man must die before we can have the new man. That could be a painful process. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 3:11. The Bible says that other foundation can no man lay. We're talking about foundations, right? The only foundation you can lay is that which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation we're building on. The Word of God, which testifies of Jesus Christ. Are you building on that? You're wise if you are. And you're foolish if you're not. Make sure today that Jesus Christ is the foundation that you're building your life upon. I'm afraid many people claim to be Christians just because they were raised in a Christian family. Just like some people are Buddhists because they were raised in a Buddhist family or a Hindu family. There are those who claim to be Christians whose faith is very, very superficial. Amen. They really don't have any convictions. They might have a few opinions, which can change easily enough. Do you have any convictions? Seriously. Do you have any rock-ribbed convictions based upon the Word of God that you're not going to compromise? You better. These last days we're living in, you better pick a side. What are you building on? Some have never, ever really made a genuine commitment to Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why the Bible says, 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. Make sure you're on the right foundation. Here's the second thought I want to share with you. We should expect a stormy blast. We should expect the storms to come. These storms came against both houses. So just because you get saved don't mean you're not going to have to face any more storms. Some people, they get surprised when they're saved and they find out they still have problems. I thought, well, I didn't think I'd have any more problems. Well, you get new problems when you become a Christian. Amen? You get problems you didn't have before. The way people treat you, persecute. So the storms are going to come. Now, you've heard this. You're either in a storm now, or you just got through one, or one's coming your way. Amen? We can't avoid the storms, but we can build to endure the storms. See, God shows us how to do that. How to endure the storms of life. There's three elements of the storms he brings out. The rain, the floods, the winds. I thought about that. The rain from above could signify storms that come from, you know, storms come from heaven. There are some storms that come to us gift wrapped by God. He allows it to happen maybe to test our faith, to strengthen our faith. So sometimes God will send you a storm. Then there's the floods. The rain from heaven, the floods, maybe from humanity. The world hates our Savior. The world hates us because we follow Him. As the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Can't avoid it, can you? Then there's the winds that may typify the attacks from satanic temptation and accusations. What does the Bible say about the devil? He's like a wounded lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy you. He will come against you. So you got all this coming, and we need a foundation that we can stand on to endure these storms. Some people, when the storms come, what happens? They fall apart. I almost did. Going through a little storm. Never expected. But you know what? I've I think God has been talking to me through this. I know Betty has, but I think God has too. He said, no, it's time I practice what I preach. When these things come, we don't have to fall apart. We can be strong. Just trust God. I don't know what God's wanting to do, but I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust that whatever happens will be to His honor and glory. That's all I care about. To His honor and glory. So we go through storms. And some of you are going through storms right now. You need this strength we're talking about. You need this foundation to build upon. There's two kinds of hearers I want you to see here. Two kinds of hearers. There's one who listens and obeys. Okay? He hears these sayings of Jesus and he doeth them. Complete obedience to what God has been saying, what Christ has been saying. Go back and think about what we've studied in this sermon. Go back to chapter 5, verse 16, where Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Are you letting your light shine? Since we've talked about this and you realize how important it is that you do, have you been doing this? With all that we've listened to, with all that we've heard, how much of this have we put to practice? I heard about a pastor who got a call from an IRS agent. And he had some questions about one of his members. He said, this man reported on his tax return that he gave $75,000 to your church. Can you verify that for me? Pastor said, well, I had to check that out. But if you'll call me back tomorrow, I'm sure by then it will be true. If it's not now, by then, this will be true. But Jesus told us how to love, how to bless, how to pray for them that mistreat us, about how to forgive others. Are we doing this? Are we putting to practice what we've learned in this sermon? About laying up treasure in heaven instead of on earth. How are you doing with that? Anything changed in that regard? Not to be judgmental, not to be critical. Are we doing that? Let's take a test. You want to take a test? We're going to anyway. I want to take it to, I want to see how well you have been listening and comprehending. What Jesus had just said, let me give you a true and false test. You like those, right? True and false. Number one, the storm only hit one house, true or false? False, it hit both houses. Only one house survived the storm, true or false? That's true. A wise person listens to Jesus, true or false? That's true. The foolish man did not listen to Jesus, true or false? That's false. He listened, but he didn't do. See? That's the whole point. He listened, just like the other guy listened, but he did not put to practice what Jesus had instructed us. Jesus told us how to survive storms that will come into our life. So one listens and obeys. The other listens but disobeys. He doeth them not. There's no difference in what they heard. The difference in what they did with what they heard. Just like many come to church, they sit and listen to a sermon. I dare say some of you have no intention of doing what I'm telling you. I mean, I've been doing this long enough. But some of you have no intention of doing what I'm telling you. You're here to listen to a sermon and go home. Because that's your tradition. But what good does it do you? To sit here and listen to the Word of God and not put it to practice. See, that's just more you got to answer for on Judgment Day. What you heard and did not obey, did not put to practice. See, I want you to practice what I preach. You said, Brother West, you start. You go first. All right. I need to practice what I preach. But you need to practice what is being preached from the Word of God. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Do you see that? You're wasting your time if you have no intention of doing what you're going to hear from the Word of God. George Barna, and he does all these Barna surveys. He made this comment on one of his surveys, a lot of Christian surveys he does. Here's what George Barna said. He said, American Christians are not as devoted to their faith as they like to believe. Their faith is rarely the focal point of their life or a critical factor in their decision making. People do not have an accurate view of themselves when it comes to their spirituality. End of quote. They like to call themselves a Christian, but their lifestyle has little to do with their profession of faith. Don't you think that's what we're living today? That is so true. What Paul said of Thessalonians should be true of us. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard, notice this, which you heard of us, ye believed it, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. Now, I want you to understand this. When you come to the house of God and hear the word of God, you're not hearing the word of men. You're hearing the word of God. And you need to treat it that way. As the word of God. With many, they hear, but they do not heed what they hear. Remember, Jesus told the churches in Revelation, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Folks, we need to do that every Sunday. We need to come to the house of God. We need to hear what the Spirit has to say to this church. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? No sense calling him Lord if you're not going to obey him. Is he truly your Lord and Master? Then, Father, there's two kinds of hearts I want you to see. One has a heart that makes him wise. The other has a heart that makes him foolish. First, you note the sensible heart. The wise person has a heart for God. He's ready to hear from God. He's willing to obey God. He's building the proper foundation for his family, his life. He acts sensibly. It's just sensible to listen to God and obey. It's just sensible. Amen? Jesus said, John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You can have the abundant life that brings true joy and commitment, contentment to your life. Start off with Christ as the foundation. You ever notice in a house cracks in the walls? You patch the cracks and a little bit later they come back. What's the problem? It's foundation. The foundation is shifting, causing the building to shift and the walls to crack. Now, you can keep patching the cracks for the rest of your life, but it's not going to stop till you get the foundation fixed. Now, you look around today, a lot of families have cracks in them. But all they're doing is trying to patch the cracks. They're not trying to store up the foundation. That's true of our country, our culture. We're just patching the problems, aren't we? We're patching the problem. We're not dealing with the foundation that needs to be dealt with to make this country strong again. You believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe that. It comes back to the foundation and having a sensible heart about these things. But then there's the senseless heart of the foolish man. The word foolish really means stupid. And you can't fix stupid, right? Hezekiah 3:16. You can't fix that. There's a lot of people who are not wise. They're very foolish in what they do and how they live. Let me close reminding you about Solomon. You remember Solomon was the one who asked for wisdom, became probably the wisest man who ever lived apart from Jesus Christ. The theme of the book of Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon as he learns from the experiences of life what is truly worthwhile. He wrote of many things he tried, which he found only to be vanity. That word vanity just means empty. It's all empty, worthless. Listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Solomon said, "Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works of my hands that wrought, on the labor I had labored to do. Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Here's a guy who had it all. Whatever he wanted, he could have. Richest man on earth, a great king. And yet at the end of all this, he said, no, it's just empty. All the world has to offer is just vanity. It's not real. Here's how he ended his book, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Here's the conclusion. Fear God. Reverence God. Obey God. Keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's it. I thought about this. You know, as Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount, his apostles were there. They're standing listening to him would probably be Peter and Judas. Here are two builders. Peter built on the rock. Judas did not. Both heard the sayings of Jesus, but Judas did not heed them. Now, Peter did deny Jesus, right? But that storm did not destroy him. I want you to see that. That storm did not destroy Peter. When the storm came against Judas, it destroyed him. He died without hope, without God. Although Judas was a member of the church, he had made a profession of faith, been baptized by John the Baptist, was even one of the preachers in the church. But Judas was never, ever saved. He never truly repented and put his faith in Jesus Christ. He was building on the shifting sand of doubt and worldly desires. His betrayal only exposed the true foundation of his life. Amen. As we stand together, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. As always, we want to give you an opportunity before you leave this morning, if you need to come, if you need to be saved, we want to invite you to come. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you need baptism or church membership, we'd like to encourage you to come. But just make sure today that you're standing on the rock that has been provided. If you're not saved, that rock is Jesus Christ. We encourage you, we exhort you. Come today and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Make Him the foundation for your life.